Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings Radio. How's everybody doing? Putting in the chat room some contact info for people, and had people asking for the newsletter and the Solar Living newsletter, which gives you the 411 forecast for the month. It should be coming out on the 5th. It usually comes out somewhere between the 1st and the 5th or the 3rd and the 5th. I'm a little behind on it today because there's so much going on. But you can email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com, and that will get the newsletter to you. Welcome, everyone, coming into the chat room. It's good to see everyone getting snuggly, cuddly in the chat room, and hello to those that are listening on the phone lines, by computer, and, of course, iTunes and the archives. It's always... I love our Wednesdays together. How's that? I really do. Today we have with us, sounds like an amazing guest, Rhonna Price. And she'll be on at the second half of the program, Rhonna Prince. And we're going to be talking about heart-based living, combining new science and ancient wisdom. Ooh, I like that. Of course, that'll be the second half of the program. And if you would like to chat or like a reading, you can call in at 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you want to get on air. I did want to mention a couple of things before mention about the Solar Living newsletter, also my Daily Ohm course, Navigate Your Greatest Soul Shift, and that's at dailyohm.com, and a lot of good info, insight, and guidance in the form of an interactive course, because there is, you know, videos and meditations that I give that really help repatterning, healing and repatterning the emotional body, as well as, and we all can always use that, it's a continual unfolding, as well as meditations, and I give weekly soul growth work to do. So there's just a lot of support, and you can always email me also at awakeningsradio@gmail.com if you have any questions, those of you that are doing the course. It's, from what I hear, it's really been life transforming for people. So I want to let people know more about that, as well as if you're interested in any of the Soul Path workshops. We have one coming up on roles, and some further repatterning will be coming up end of October. And then we're going to have some guest people as well. So there's a lot of change right now, that's deeper change, and like you've heard me say, change that is putting people in completely new directions. So I want to be a part of that support team. I do that for myself. I always say there's no grand poobah, and I don't consider myself a grand poobah. I'm very much on the path. You know, you're not immune. Even if you're a few steps ahead, or you know, have all this awareness, or like me, came in psychic and channeling and, as a medium, it still doesn't mean you don't have your soul growth and shiftings. And I'm a big believer of support, having your team, and that's really friends, can be you, objective, and also working with somebody that can really just hold the space and give the guidance and has the tools. So what, just to dive in really quickly, then we are going to get to phone lines. I did want to mention something. I don't know if any of you listeners have been approached with these gifting circles, but a friend of mine was talking about it, and it seems to be targeted the new term spirit, what is it, spiritpreneurs, spiritualpreneurs, zenpreneurs, you know, people that are connected in spiritually. Just be aware, use your own discernment. It's a kind of a bit of a Ponzi scheme or pyramid scheme, and you may make money at the top, but remember someone at the bottom, you know, is going to get left behind. So I made a promise to a friend of mine that I would mention it on air so that people just can be aware of it. You know, it's kind of put in a flowery, pretty language, but it's not really cool because somebody always ends up, you know, not making it, not getting their money and putting in and not getting their money. Lots of people coming in the chat. Yeah, the chat's been a little, hello, Monopoly, a little sluggish. I'm not sure. Sometimes it doesn't, the chat doesn't show up. I opened it a little later today. So I wanted to mention that. And then we're all going to get the phone lines again, 347-539-5122. Those that are listening either in the chat or the by computer, you're thinking, maybe I should call in. Yeah, call in, say hi, let me know how you're doing, call in for reading. I want to touch on, though, because we have some amazing aspects that are coming up astrologically. We're back, you know, Uranus has been retrograding. We're back into the squares, which, as you know, any of you that studied astrology, the square creates tension. It's not bad, but it is a tension to do something, and that could be an outer do something or an inner do something. And we have a very important, I feel, Mercury retrograde coming up on October 18th. It will be in Scorpio, and it also will be conjuncting and influencing the Saturn in Scorpio as well. So it'll really be highlighted. And what I would suggest to everyone is look and see. Some of you may have this natally. There may be, you know, natal aspects. But take a peek at your 8th house, 3rd house, what is going on there, where is Scorpio in your, Mercury specifically and Scorpio in your chart, as well as Saturn, to see what are you learning about your life structures, as well as not only how you communicate, but how you think. What's your personal style, and what's your personal emphasis, and where is your personal learning? And then with this astrological configuration that's coming up, this, you know, transit to a degree, what is it highlighting for you? You know, where is Saturn and Scorpio highlighted for you, whereas Mercury and Scorpio highlighted for you? And then look at it by house placement, and also where, you know, where is Scorpio, either by 8th house or the sign active. Also Pluto, of course, because Pluto rules Scorpio. So a call is not only for deeper meaning in relationship, deeper meaning in connecting, but we're being really called, and I want to say this energy is going to go into the gateway that we have starting in November. And of course, we're the retrograde will be highlighted because it also will be in the time of Scorpio. So this whole October, November, and for some it's going to eke over into December and January. It just depends on where the, you know, where the degrees are hitting in your natal chart. Not only revamping for depth of your expression and your interpretation of your life, but also your thinking patterns. So there is going to be a little bit of a hold, and for some this can cause some frustration. Others, there might be a feeling of lack, or I'm not getting enough of something, or, you know, because Scorpio can be kind of intense. You know, it is a fixed sign. So sometimes it doesn't want to budge. You know, it can either, you know, go full force into something without checking something out, or with that intensity, or it can say, no way, Jose, I'm not doing this. So what I am suggesting, and I've been seeing it in quite a few people's charts that I've been doing, there seems to be this theme of reevaluating one's routine. Now, remember structure. You know, and I like Saturn. I don't see it as so heavy. Saturn has a lot to do. You know, people say learning lessons, yes, and can delay the lesson or delay the gifts until later on chronologically. It rules time. It rules patience. But Saturn is, you know, very much has to do with structure and looking at is building, like especially people at the first Saturn return, you're building your structure for the next 7 years. And it's got to be like, is this structure going to hold up for me? You know, is this structure in my life? And so part of your structure is your routine. It's your environment. It's what do you have around you? What do you want to bring into your life right now? And so that deeper meaning, yes, deeper meaningful fulfilling relationships with others, but also ourselves. And part of ourselves is our environment. We extend out into our environment. And I was explaining this to someone the other day. I was doing a reading, and they said, well, can you explain this? And I said, yes. For instance, for me, you know, I go to a dry cleaner and a tailor, and they even do some other services for me. I like them. I like giving them my money. I like who they are. I like what they're about. I like their, and they're also, they've done some stuff for me that I'm like, oh my God, you charged me only $10 for this? I get to speak a little my Spanish with them, you know. So I like, and they're close. They're local. I like the sense of community with that, rather than going someplace else where there's not that kind of connection and rapport. In fact, I was going someplace else where there was not that connection and rapport. In fact, they lost my laundry and have yet to kind of make good on that. But it was more, I could tell the people that worked there weren't as happy. And again, not judging it, but discerning what is right for me, I like something a little just more low-key and humble and kind of, you know, just a little more, I don't know, like little town community-like. So that nurtures me. Going in there nurtures me. Being around that, and it's family-owned business. So you have to find out, you know, you have to check in with yourself, especially this October, November. You know, am I getting this exchange of energy in my surroundings and with the people, some of you job or career, you know, some of you it's going to be, you know, that old saying, stopping and smelling the roses, stopping and smelling the flowers. Are you letting the environment, because you are the environment is an extension of us, are you environment to nurture you? Are you receiving from your environment? Are thoughts blocking? You know, again, Pluto ruling Scorpio is the great roto-rooter. It wants to transform, transmute. It wants to take what is existing and transmute, shape-shift it into something that is more ideal. And sometimes that's, you know, in your health, that's like slam, something's jumped in or jumped out, you know, pulled in, pulled out of your life. It's just this kind of constant rub till something just gives way, right? Like literally polishing that stone, that philosopher's stone, right? Polishing the lapis, the truth stone, to get to your own personal truth. So October is going to be calling up for many of us, what is your personal truth? And you may not know it. You might have to meditate. You might have to feel it out or think about it. You might have to look and what do you have in your environment? What's going on in your environment? Is it still suiting you? Is it still supporting you? Remember, Saturn can be the crutch, but it can also be the legs of the table supporting. It can also be very constrictive and restrictive. So I would suggest those of you that are feeling constriction and restriction in your life right now, is the call is to go deeper. Your constriction or restriction is saying that growth is taking place. And when we have nowhere to grow, we're either growing deeper within, we're going deeper into our path and our process, right? Or upward to getting a better view. So think of vertical growth. Don't just think of horizontal growth. We're not always growing from the past to the present to the future. We're not always growing in this forward motion, or we're not always going back to reflect, right? These are points of view, not even really, we would call it time. But these points of view, sometimes it's growing vertically, rising above, getting into the upper chakras, getting transcending, ascending. So that could be a growth as well. Sometimes it's going deep, deep, deep within, so deep, you know, really feeling what's there, you know, going within the body to see what does the body need right now? What does the body want right now? You know, what's going on with me subconsciously? So it will be a great time, actually, this whole next 3 months for deep inner work, repatterning, meditation processes, inner plane work, really working with these not only but what we call chthonic energies as well. So, you know, any kind of ritual, working with light energy, but working with darkness, working with the shadow, allowing yourself to become more conscious through relationship. You know, and not everybody always wants to play with it. I've been trying to do that in some of my relationships, and some people don't want to play. They don't want to go deep, and that's okay. You got to just honor where people are. But the depth, you know, the call to express on a soul level is getting to the depths of how we are and who we are, you know, as spiritual beings. You hear me always saying, you know, you're just, you don't have to keep asking who you are. You just know you're a spiritual being. But the who we can ask is how and where do we want to express? You know, what are our little quirks and what are our proclivities? Those kinds of questions connect us into the soul path. And by the way, what happens when we're doing this, we're connecting more with our soul wave, and we are interacting with the universal wave, which is all of our soul energy together, you know, the collective soul. We're actually repatterning the wave, the wavelength. If you think of the immersive energy that we're in, those resonant fields, many fields, morphogenic fields, if you think our thoughts and actions interplay with the universal wave, which is comprised of all these waves. And so we literally start changing and altering, shape-shifting energetically through the wave structure that we are. You know, you call it the matrix. We're changing that. It doesn't get changed except for by us individually and therefore collectively. So as we're doing all this repatterning, as we're allowing more of ourselves to be vulnerable, we get to the depth of who and what we are. And how many remember with Don Juan? The humor that you can be, you know, I had something recently that's so evolved, you can be so conscious and then do something that is just from the emotional body, just so out there, vulnerable, sabotaging something. But the key is not what we do, or it's how do we bounce back from that? Do we bounce back with the Heyoka medicine, the shamanic medicine that laughs? You know, I remember a wonderful story that someone told me, because years ago I had quite a few experiences with the Dalai Lama and spent some, as many people have, spent closer time with him, and knew some people that were very, you know, very, very close with him in his inner workings and worked for him and knew him on a personal level. And told the story of behind the scenes, behind the stage of one of his talks, where he just blew it. He just got so angry, kind of an irrational anger. And I guess it kind of startled somebody. But he recovered so quickly. And he just did a huge laugh, just started laughing and put his hands in the air, and then it was over. And I thought, that's grace and ease. That is the guitar that is fine-tuned. It's you know, the tambora. That is the violin that isn't strung so tight that it can't release energy and motion. and isn't so loose that it's just over, you know, emotional everywhere. And I thought, wow, can we do that? So this next, you know, this next astral fluence for all of us is going to be kind of poking. Where are you too tight and where are you loosey-goosey? You know, where are you all over the place like a mush? Are you, where's your integrity of your being? Integrity simply means wholeness. I talked to somebody the other day and I talked to them about coming more from integrity or having to have integrity, and they were kind of upset about it. And I didn't think to say, but, you know, if you look up integrity, it means coming from wholeness. It's really not a judgment. It's not like, okay, you're not being, you know, moral. A lot of people think it has to do with moral, but if you look at the word, it comes from integris, Latin integris. It means the integral parts are fitting together. So because Pluto is about depth, everyone is going to be asked to look at what are your integral pieces in your life and how do they fit together and how do they fit together? That doesn't mean they all add up nicey-nicey all the time. There could be some parts of you that seem very paradoxical or maybe in conflict. You know, when there's conflict, there's a wholeness resolution that's going on in the body-mind, just like with physical healing. You know, if there's an impending condition or you stub your toe, you hurt your knee, you know, you injure your ankle, that sets up a part that's in homeostasis and you know, in optimal health, and then a part that is not, you know, is having the opposite experience. And so it's a combination of that part that's humming really well, that's in optimal health. Can that part not yell at the other part and say, come on, get on, can it do what it needs to do, maybe slow down or do whatever adjustment it needs to do, learn from the part feeling so well or doing so well. And that brings integrity, that brings wholeness, that brings healing, and that allows the body-mind, not just the body-mind, envisioning powers in to begin to create homeostasis, which is that balancing point. Everybody's is a little bit different. But our body, mind, and us as mental, emotional, spiritual, think of this as we're virtuous beings to have wholeness or integrity in our life. We like the parts, not analytically to fit together, but on a subtle energy level, on a feeling level. You know, am I getting enough out time, socializing time? You can't think these things through. You can't say, well, 2.5 hours is what I need for this, and 5 hours for this. You know, it's not like a, you know, accounting where you say, well, that's probably going to take you 2.5 hours. Well, some people might take them 5 hours or 3 hours, and some people might take them an hour. So look at ways to tap into your inner GPS, to your body mind, to feel what is the right balance for you, what are the right boundaries for you. Not intellectually, and not coming from a space of fear, like, I don't want to get hurt, so I'm cutting off, you know, or I'm afraid this will never come around again, so I'm jumping in. Not from that space. We're going to be called in this next, you know, retrograde. Well, Saturn and Scorpio has been doing it anyway. I mean, it's been happening where we're getting called, again, to go deeper and go into the watery element of sensing and feeling. Get, you know, in other words, get out of the mind. Stop trying to intellectualize. You know, the map that we're all going for is not. We're creating it as we go along. There's a template. You know, there's a satellite version of the map of our map. There's a GPS version of our map that comes from the higher self. But it unfolds through us. We create it, co-create it as we go along. So there's a design. There's a template. But it's like a road trip. You know, you might be thinking, I'm going to Yosemite. And then you stay a little longer in Sequoia, you know, or, you know, we're in Paris now, and the first thing I want to do is see the Ivory Tower. And then you meet somebody in a cafe, you know, and over croissant or wine and cheese, tofu cheese for those of you vegans. And you have a lovely conversation, and it turns out you can't go or you don't want to go to the ivory tower that day. You're going to go tomorrow or maybe the next day. So be aware also of where are you locking yourself in? Where are you overly locked in your decisions in a way that spirit can't come through? Because that spiritual energy is emanating from universal source. And it's individuated as your soul. So your quality of energy, your soul wave, is trying to wave through to you to move you in directions for more fulfillment. And my understanding is this next, you know, amazing configuration that we have coming up is really, really going to be highlighting that. And then it's going to be amplified by the gateway that we have this November, December. So you could say soul searching, but I want to say feeling out through the soul, through the perception of the soul, feeling it out. The soul knows the answer, so there's not, and this is, we call it soul searching, but how about searching through the eyes of the soul, searching through the viewpoint of the soul, searching through the feeling of the soul, so that you're not doing your searching through the ego, or you're not doing your searching from your wounding. You know, take into account your wounding, but the soul might be nudging you into areas where you have to risk more, and you're jumping more into the unknown, or it looks a little odd, or it looks a little funny, looks a little misshapen. You know, the heart is misshapen. But a misshapen heart doesn't mean that it's not fully functioning. It might be just a different shape than you thought, you know, a different size. So I feel a lot of people, you're going to really be called into question your motives, your intention. What do you really need? What are your wants? What are your desires? You know, do those need to be transformed and up-leveled? How can you make your life more deeper meaning, have more deeper meaning, more meaningful? How can you have more richness or have be more enriched? Which, by the way, is through love. I mean, I found that through my shamanic work and my bereavement counseling, and I know we've heard people say this on the show, and we've read this everywhere. When people are crossing over, it's the connections, the relationships, it's the love. You know, they may say, yeah, great, I did this, left this legacy, and I did this and this and this, and I gave $500,000 to this hospital wing, and I did this and I did that. Yeah, they'll contemplate that. But I can assure you that in the time of transition, just before crossing, and as it gets closer to the crossing, the connections is more on nature. The trees, the beauty in life, the mystery, the experiences, the relationships, the love had, the lust, the great experiences of connecting and sharing, what we call love, and what is intangible. We go back to that. So let that somehow fuel you that when some of the challenges or the intensity are coming up in this configuration, that how can I answer with love? How can I move into the space of love for myself and others? How can I answer from love? Because to me, love has no opposite, so love is wholeness. Love is integrity. Love is those parts that don't seem to fit together, somehow fitting together. Because that's, honestly, that's what the soul loves. That's what God, the all that is, loves. Loves the humor. And a lot of people with a lot of trickster, Heoka medicine, know this. Certain shamans of all, I think shamans or shamans of all cultures, if they're the wise ones, usually the older ones, they know this. You know, that's why, you know, or Hindu teachers, you know, exalted teachers, that's why they teach, you know, with humor, and they teach by what you need to know, not what you think you need to know or come there for. I've had many of my teachers on my path, especially earlier on, especially coming in, they knew that I had a lot of information and insight coming in as a you know, psychic channel and a medium and empath and, you know, a whole nine yards. But there were certain things they would just bust me on, you know, or laugh at me. What? You think you know what you're talking? And just turn around. It's like, wait, what am I supposed to do now? Or give me some Cohen that I'll never figure out, and then working on it for weeks and then say, oh, that doesn't matter. I just wanted to see what that would do to you mentally. And it's like, my God, I was a basket case thinking everybody figured this out and it doesn't make sense. So your inner guide, your inner shaman will be poking you in ways to say, where are you stuck? Where are you taking yourself so seriously that you're stopping the life force energy? Where are you judging yourself? Where do you need to lighten up? Where do you need to see the humor in this tragedy, this an intense situation? Maybe there's a relationship that's breaking apart, or you're having intense conflict or with your, a superior or boss or friend, or you just can't get it. And you're so caught up in your viewpoint. You can't get it, can't get it, can't get it. Take a breath and then laugh. Just laugh. God, this is life. This is bad. My God, it's the inner child's, freaking out or whatever to. And then saying, how can I come from love? I'm not talking la-di-da-di, love, romantic, love. No, how can I come from, and how can I come from the wholeness that says these parts don't fit together? Because, by the way, yes, we do make mistakes, but in the land of spirit, there are no mistakes. So if you're paired with a person or a situation or a job, there is enough resonance there with that person, with that situation. If you're still there, there's enough resonance there. The options are, is shifting your resonance, and there's ways to do that. We work with that monthly within our Soul Path workshops. There's other people that work with that. But you're only going to be someplace where there's enough resonance. We can't be someplace where there isn't any resonance. There has to be enough resonance to hold you there into that experience. So once you know that wherever you are is where you're meant to be, until some shifting happens or you decide to shift out and usually get the support to do it, or do it in your own meditation practices, which I have on my YouTube site, by the way. There's some freebie things that you can do that help shift resonance to shift you out of situations you are. By the way, shifting resonance means you have to get in, you have to rise above, you have to ascend, you have to get into the space of wholeness or oneness. You can't do it by fighting the situation or fighting the person or trying to, in other words, draw in different energies to kind of overwhelm what you're not wanting to experience. You literally have to go into what you are experiencing, the what is, and expand into the next polarity, and then you move beyond duality, and then a whole new configuration is created, energetic configuration is created, and then you start attracting differently. You start attracting in the next level up, we call up-leveling. But you can go to my Lightbeam21 channel or just put my name in on YouTube and it will be there. Monopoly has put, we should be laughing but not through panic, because this structure we live in is a joke in itself. Yeah, and then what is this government shutdown? We definitely need to laugh through the panic. Yeah, that old structure is not fit for humans. So true. It's great input in the chat, by the way. The humor, because as the structures are falling down, we're putting new ones in, but there's going to be some gaps. There's going to be some gaps where there's not structure and form. There's formlessness until it starts taking on the form, the new form. So in these gaps, we kind of have to just, you cry and then you laugh, and find where the subtle energy of your being is nudging you. Where is that wave? The carrier wave is love. The ultimate, substance in the universe is love. That's all we have. It's love and light. It's all a form of, energy. It's cohesive, the cohesiveness, but within the cohesiveness, there has to be the gaps. That's where the creation comes through. There has to be a gap. If it's all held together too tightly, then it either has to be blown apart to allow the new to come in. We talked about it last week as disruptive innovation. So you don't have innovation without disruption. Something is no longer working. So it's, that saying, city is the mother of invention. You don't give birth to something new unless something isn't working. Or some people do because they just like creating things, which in one way they're seeing there must be a better way, or a more efficient way or more inclusive way. All right, let us get to phone lines. 775-247, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, to whom am I speaking with?
My name's Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Just a
question. Question, a comment? Cool.
I have a question. A little while ago, I just finally decided to, I just have to be who I am. You know how you try to pretend in the world and get along and it just doesn't work. So just living
yes.
my own truth, and it's much more enjoyable, much more comfortable, very relaxing. The only downside is financially it's been crippling. Because
okay.
a lot of things, you know, there's just certain people you can't be around anymore. And it's not so much that it bothers me because I'm comfortable who I am, but you know, you still need money to live in this world. So my question is, financially, do you see anything coming up for me that would be helpful?
Okay. Like a direction you need to go in. First of all, I want to say that sometimes it's our belief. Okay, here's one thing. When we do take energy from one area to another, there is a dip in energy, and finance or money is a form of energy. So that can definitely happen. But I do feel for you, what I not only want you to think, but also to feel, is that you can have the same or more abundance than you had in the former version of your life. Because what I do feel energetically is there's a non-resonance there. There's a part that is feeling like you can't have as big or fulfilling of a life, and that includes financially. Like, you know, sometimes we think, oh, we have to focus only on my career and not a love relationship. Or sometimes, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to be a mother so I can't also work. You know, but I love working, but no, I can't because now I'm going to be a mother. So I feel within you there's a couple of these little dichotomies or conflicts that you need to not just think but feel it out for the right balance for you. And I do feel that this Mercury retrograde conjuncting Saturn in Scorpio is going to help you kind of get to the bottom of that. And it is saying go outside your normal circles. And also to bring something more, is there something you've been wanting to do that's more project-based, Kenny?
There's a project I'm working on. It's more of a fun project. I mean, there's potential to make money, and that's something I'm going towards. But
well, the guides are saying to go in that direction.
Okay.
So the potential is there. I want you to shift it and say the potential is there for abundance in many ways, and money is just one of them. So when we limit ourselves that we just want, especially in the new paradigm, it's easier in the old paradigm or if you're configured for this, but you're integrating a lot of your own, you know, soul wave energy essence and your spiritual essence. So you've got to claim and say, I'm going to get abundance through friends, through fulfillment, emotional connection, and money. Don't make money be the only thing you're going for. But they are saying to go for this project that it will bring that which you want and more. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Kenny.
That's actually very helpful.
Peace.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Peace. Oh, let's see. 360-402, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, it's you.
Hi there. This
What's
is
your name?
Victoria and Rachel.
Oh, Victoria and Rachel. Hello. Welcome.
Hi. We're turning off the other phone.
Are you cupcakes?
Okay.
Is it the cupcakes?
Yeah.
Hi. Hi. What's your question?
So we have a question about our business right now. We're growing and expanding, but we've just come across some major setbacks in the process, and we're just feeling kind of sad. So we wanted
yeah.
to see what you were feeling about the situation.
There always will be setbacks on the physical plane. You look to... the whole idea, a lot of times what a setback is, and we see this in transpersonal work, transpersonal therapy, transpersonal psychology. What happens when we have a setback, we're regrouping. There's something that is just a little out. Again, I'm going to talk about integrity or integris, that wholeness. Something is just a little out. Think of it this way. You're filling this wheelbarrow. You're going to go get all this gold and, you know, crystals and jewels, all these goodies, you know. And you start going out and everything's fine, and then you realize, oh, my God, one wheel is a little wanky. It's wonky, you know. So, it's, you know, kind of a little, it has to be reinforced. So you have to either, you didn't bring tools to repair it, you got to go back and reinforce. Then you start putting stuff in, then you realize, oh, my God, the bottom of the wheelbarrow has to be reinforced, you know, or maybe I need to go get a different container. Maybe I have a wooden wheelbarrow and I really should have a metal one. So the setback I feel for you guys not only is to regroup and regain, because I feel like you're starting to get really stretched out, a little scattered, a little stretched out, but is also to regain your commitment, your intention, and how to make the scheduling more workable for you. And then there's some adjustments I'm also seeing that you're going to need. Like, we'll go here, or we'll do, you know, these fairs, this and this, but not this one. We'll go here, we'll do this. Does that help at all?
Yeah, it's kind of what we're facing right now.
Yes, yeah. So setback, you know, again, when we're on this earth, you know, it's in the tarot, the Five of Wands. A lot of people call that struggle. But I like to rename it into persistent effort. Fortunately or unfortunately, many of the times we see it as unfortunate, that's what this earth plane is about. It's mechanical. You know, it's energetic. It's, we create via, you know, thought. But it requires, just like a garden. Here's the thing I always do when I'm focused on anything in my life and I'm having setbacks or things are going on. I try to think of myself and my life as a garden. I try to give myself analogies of like a garden or remodeling a house or building a house from scratch, that there's always these setbacks, but it doesn't mean you're on the wrong path or track. It's just that's inherent within the earth process. You know, the garden doesn't just go overnight and then sometimes some little, you know, bugs get in there and nibble on your tomatoes, or it's too rainy and that's not good, or not enough rain and that's, you know, causes a delay. So I would suggest taking that standpoint, regroup, recalibrate, and put a way that is going to be more workable for you now. Okay, you two?
Do you have any feeling about the fine system? Can you hear me?
About the what? I can't hardly hear. Do I have any feeling about
the
what?
Final outcome? You want
to just talk? Well, the final outcome is going to be up to you what you do. I mean, right now it's showing you're going to have to, there's a lot of Pluto energy around it. So it's transformative, but it's also going to be intense and challenge you. So this is the thing. We can all have a final outcome that we like and that's leading to growth and stabilization, but if we don't go through these patches. So if we follow through, the universe responds.
Yeah.
All right. Keep us posted.
Thank you so much. We love the connection with you, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I love the connection with you as well. I really do. And no, you know, all of you, gosh, Victoria, Rachel, all of you that call in, all of you that are interacting in the chat with such amazing insight in the chat. I think we've got the best chat. I'm telling you, there's so much love and spiritual information and emotional healing and connecting. But when you guys call in, or you put, you know, you're helping each other in the chat by speaking your truth, sharing your insights, the resources. And then when you call in, thousands of people listen to this show. You've got to know at least 1,000 or a few thousand people have the same situation you're going through. So you really do help by posing these, you know, questions. So I appreciate it. Appreciate
yes,
the contribution.
Love. Thank you.
Lots of love. Bye-bye. Yeah. Hi, 812-654, you're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi, Michelle. It's Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne. I thought that was your energy. Okay. Howdy. How are you doing?
You know, I've went back to college, or I've went to college. And
oh, very cool.
Yeah. I got a Pell Grant, but I don't think it's enough. We're struggling just a little. And I was wondering, whenever I can, now that, you know, all the political stuff, should I get a federal loan? Should I go that direction?
Okay, what's going on? But you can't get, what's the other thing? Not sponsorship, what is it called? Student loans, scholarship, something, some kind of help?
Yeah, well, the Pell Grant, it's
Pell, that's
it's
what it
like,
was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's saying go ahead. It's saying go ahead.
Okay.
Whatever
I can, huh?
Whatever you can. I do see work. Are you working now? I do see some kind of part-time work coming in for you.
Well, I might be, yeah.
But it might even be at the school, by the way. Have you looked, like, in the bookstore? Or I don't know if it's a commissary, something. I feel like it's something. I see books. I see little gifts, knick-knacky stuff. So I don't. It's either on the campus or near there.
It could be in the library.
Maybe the library. Okay. Yeah, because I'm seeing a lot of books around you and people coming in. But you're on the right path, Suzanne. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I even feel like there could be someone that you meet from there, like a guy, also.
Oh, they're 12.
there we go. Okay, because I see a lot of guys around. Yay, okay.
Yeah,
lady, go for it.
Oh, now. Maybe
yeah,
a professor
go for
might
it.
Find one. But okay.
Just go for it. Enjoy. You're opening up, and that is going to draw not only it's a deeper, more fulfilling relationship to yourself, but also I do feel an outer relationship. I do feel a guy coming in. So, yeah, go for it. Go for
it. Well, we're moving CJ Saturday from one apartment to another across, well, a few miles away and everything. So maybe this is that moving that you're talking about.
Could very well be. Could be.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. Always
all right. Well,
from
thank
you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye. Hi, 978-532. We've got a couple more minutes before our guest comes on air. So next caller is 978-532.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking with?
I am Peg.
Peg, hi, Peg. What's your question or comment?
Well, I was wondering if there were going to be readings done today.
Yeah. What's your question?
I don't know. I mean, you know, who can predict anything? But last night I had an interesting experience. I was getting ready to go to sleep. I had my head in the pillow, my eyes closed. And sometimes I'll hear, you know, words or names or something, you know, clear hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it was just faces, like orbs of faces. And I finally had to say, stop it, I don't want to see that anymore. And they went away. But it was just really interesting. I had never seen anything like that before, and you know, they didn't make sounds, they just like all appeared, like little orbs would appear before my eyes, and my eyes were closed and I could see them, and they were like gray. It was like, you know, like a pencil drawing of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Of these
so what do you feel it is? or was.
It could be a lot of different things. It could be, you know, it could be loved ones. It could be spirit. It could be, the masters and teachers of the Akashic Records. But they were men, and that's what was so strange. It wasn't women, it was men. And they, you know, they didn't seem to be in this time. So it was almost like, you know, it was almost...
Well, here's my thought on those types of experiences. You can, you know, sometimes they just, you slip into them, or they slip into you, you know, that's called dimensional shifts. Bleed-throughs is another thing, you know, where the veils, well, they're dissolving. There's a lot of veils that have already dissolved, so people are having more of this kinds of experiences and seeing what's on the etheric plane. I know for myself, you know, my own personal life, as well as with people, clients that I work with, I have been seeing the last year or so more seeing people etherically, or like I can see somebody's going to be in my kitchen and we're cooking, you know, and then later, a few weeks or a month or two, they're there. So that's one of the things I would say for you, Peg, is that you're seeing what is always there, but until we've had the recent vibrational shifts, which really started in 2011, October 20th, you know, 2011, you know, our resonance wasn't there to allow to see or even feel that. Sometimes people would more feel it, but now actually seeing it, it's becoming more what we call more solidified or more solid. So I would say as you extend and you expand, as your vibrational frequency is shifting and being more inclusive, there will be more of those experiences, you know, kind of flittering in and, you know, out than less. And so you're just being now prepared to see that, to see more, to open and see more of that. All right?
Right.
Thanks for calling in.
That's a possibility.
Thanks for calling
in. I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. We have one more caller, and then we get to our guest. 707-552, you're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, this is
speaking.
This is Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. Welcome.
Hi. I'd like to know if you see work coming this month.
Okay.
And anything about work is fine.
Now, actually, I do. You're similar to the caller that a few calls ago. I feel project-based. Or are you doing something more temporary?
Yes.
Or going through some kind of, yeah. So it is showing temporary work or like going through an agency of some sort. I want to say I feel more of a consistent direction with your work. Capricorn time. So end of December into January. And also look out May, June for new directions also. So you may end up getting into something that you end up saying, gosh, you know what? I think I have enough set aside or enough, whatever it is, confidence or just inner knowing that now I'm going to go full force in this direction. But yeah, I do see work coming up, definitely.
Do you see anything else around it?
Like what?
How well it's going to go, the people, and how soon?
I think you're in transition, so I'm going to say I see a lot of temporary work. I'm going to listen to the beginning of the show, what I said about the you know, Saturn in Scorpio and conjuncting Mercury in Scorpio, this Mercury retrograde that we're going into. So it's going to challenge people of how they talk with other people, you know, and you are going to be, I see people milling around you. I don't know if it's an office, but I don't feel you're going to be working by yourself or on your own.
Right.
So watch the self. This month and next month will be a great month for journaling. Don't hit the send button. So part of it is I feel like there's a direction that you want to go in that you're not yet ready to or don't think you can. And so part of you, there may be some disappointment in some of the positions that you have coming up. But if you can look at them as more stepping stones or transitional, that they're supporting your growth or supporting where you are now, they may not be ideal, but they're perfect for where you are now, then I feel you'll get along. You'll get along with the people. You won't expect too much from these positions.
Right. That makes sense because I really don't want anything that's permanent or full time. I just want to work when I want to work.
There we go. Yeah.
So
as long as you keep it at that and know that, you know, that's the way it is and that's what you really want, I feel like you'll have that fulfillment. And then again, like I said, May, June, there'll be some new direction that comes in that's a bit, I don't know if it's a project, I don't know if it's working for a group that you feel is really inspiring, but it does show there will be a new direction coming in. Thanks for calling in, Valerie.
Thank you.
Much peace. You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, listener participants. We're going to be bringing on our guest here, and of course you can call in with questions relative to our guest and topic. We have coming on air is Rana Prince, who's the writer and producer of Sacred Journey of the Heart, a film about science and spirit. She's also an intuitive counselor and coach, a guide to sacred sites around the world. She's also a wonderful songwriter. Got a bit of her music as well. Rana created a step-by-step personal growth process that she trademarked as Modern Mastery. She guides clients through the process of transition and creating a new reality that aligns with each person's unique talents and dreams. Welcome to the program, Rana.
Hi, thanks for having me here today, Michelle.
Oh, great to be here with you. Yeah, quite a talent. I mean, you've got the intuitive counseling going on. You're also the writer and producer of Sacred Journey of the Heart. And then also a wonderful songwriter. Quite amazing.
Yeah, I keep busy. I used to call myself an accidental filmmaker, but now I guess I'm a full-fledged filmmaker because I never really set out to do something this big, but it just kind of happened. So there's a lot of hard work.
By the way, was that you singing on the MP3?
No, that's one of my friends who's a professional singer. I didn't do the singing. I wrote the lyrics and most of the melody, and she did the rest.
She wrote the lyrics. Oh, and the melody. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I did the lyrics and the melody, and then she helped me get it to Nashville. She went down to Nashville and recorded it. So I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Wow. I want to dive in with a little bit of your background for our listeners. I'd love to know your, I guess I want to say, first awakening. What awakened you to the path that you're on now?
Well, it was really when I was 13 years old. I would call the first big and undeniable awakening. I grew up, as people will see when they watch the film, I revealed the story that I was abused as a child, sexually abused from 3 to 13. And after the abuse stopped, my body kind of went haywire with all the stress and anxiety that kept building up. And I'm sure you'd talk about the connection between emotions and physical symptoms. And I ended up developing a tumor on the back of my spine at 13. And it was growing, and I couldn't tell anybody about it because the body was completely off limits to discuss in my home. And so it kept growing. And I was going around for 6 months like this saying, I'm dying. I know I'm dying. And I can't tell anybody about it. But I also knew from a very young age, because I'm somewhat psychic, that I was going to grow up and have 4 children and travel the world and do interesting things. So this wasn't making sense to me. So that one evening, I finally, in desperation, was praying in my bedroom. And this light appeared into my room, a being in the light. And just filled me with unbelievable unconditional love, and I can't even explain it. It was more than I can explain in words. And this being started to talk to me and said, you're going to be fine. We want you to get up, go on, tell your mother about it in the morning, go on and live your life as you see it. But you, when we need you, we're going to call you. And when we call you, we're going to need you to do something bigger in the world, and you'll know it when it's time. So I went up, got, pulled my mother the next morning, and which we got the tumor taken care of. It was benign, but it was sort of like a vehicle for me to know there was going to be something else for me. So I did everything. I had my four kids, had a career, 20 years in banking and finance, and finally after three job losses in 3 years, I said, I think this is the time. This is the time when I need to step out and use my skills and figure out what it is, because then I had been channeling and learning about esoterics and metaphysics. I said, I think I need to go out and bring in this vibration of unconditional love for other people and to share with them what I see, all the connections and the past lives and the guides and the angels. And it was, I didn't really want to do it too much because it was crazy for me. And even though I had a secret love of it, I did not want to, you know, I was in banking for gosh sakes. I did not want to go and start telling people all of a sudden I channel or I can see auras and orbs and chakras and masters. So anyway, it kind of, that's it in a nutshell. But the first one was really at 13 when I really had that powerful awakening experience.
And it sounds like, and you remembered years, and you remembered years later, this is what they were telling me.
Yes, it was kind of, I was waiting for it, you know, going, I don't know what's going to be asked of me. And it was like kind of the universe had to provide that impetus. See, after I'd been working for 20 years in banking and that company was acquired and I lost that job. And then 2 years, you know, two more jobs, I thought, okay, I get it. I understand things and happen in threes. And so I finally said, I'll surrender. I had never taught a class, never led a workshop in spirituality. And, people just said, here, sure, here's our client list. Come and teach a class in our store. And I did it in 2002, and they haven't done anything but that since.
How did you know, like when you said that with the job loss, how did you know, okay, that this is something that maybe this is a sign?
Well, it was a... It was just this urging I had, you know, like sometimes we call it divine discontent, that I knew that there was something more. I never was in a job that I didn't like until the very last one, when I was gone from doing large deals and large corporations down to working for one individual. And I said, I know that I'm being drawn to do this and driven to do it. And I had no idea what it was going to look like. You know, talk about a fool's leap off the cliff. I'd never done anything like that before, but the doors just opened. You know, when I got those green lights and people saying, come on in, I said, well, I guess this is it. And people really loved what I was doing and with my channeling and the workshops I started to provide. So my first workshop was Living in Ascended Master Energy 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting when that happens, you know. It definitely does cause one to pause in one's life and reconsider where one's at, right?
Yeah, it does. It was a turning point, and I knew also the sense, well, I knew at 23 when I was newly married, and I knew that if I followed the path and really pursued my awareness and understanding of spirituality, that I would not be able to stay married. So it was more than just a choice of leaving the corporate world, but then if I do this, I know that my husband at the time that I had these four kids with would not be able to stay on, you know, in this relationship, because it was too far out of what he and his, you know, 3D mind could accept. So it was a very difficult choice, but I really had to make the choice. And I said, okay, I this is the only thing that I can do, is to be authentic and true to myself. And then we hung on to our marriage for another 6 or 7 years. And he just told me, I can't understand what you're doing and why, and what's this service to humanity? Can't you just serve the family? You know, you could do both.
Yeah. That it's very interesting, you know, sometimes in order to move forward, we have to, whatever the nest is, whether it's our, you know, family of origin, you know, however we grew up, or later on that family of choosing, you know, i.e., you know, marriage or living together, sometimes it just doesn't work, and we're kind of nudged out, I guess.
Right. Yeah, that's what happened.
Now, how did you come to write and produce Sacred Journey of the Heart?
Well, I was going to do it. My original idea was to do somewhat of a promotional piece to share with potential clients what I was doing, which is a little bit out of the ordinary. And I had started to lead Equinox retreats in March and September in Sedona, because I live in Arizona, and so people were coming on retreats, and then we started doing other events, and I thought, well, let's take a trip to sacred sites around the world, and I can go into these sites and channel, and we can find out why we're all there as a group and what past lives we've lived together. So I thought, well, let me do a little video about the sacred journey we were taking to Glastonbury and private entry into Stonehenge. I called it Sacred Journey of the Heart. And I love numerology, too, and I knew that title, Sacred Journey of the Heart, equals 111 in Pythagorean numerology, so I knew it would attract some energy, a lot of energy to it. And then, so we got a film crew together, and we were going to talk about earth healing as we're healing our own heart chakras, we're healing the earth. It was going to be a high-level metaphysical film, which I thought was what I was into
right
at the time. And so we took a film crew there, and then we got some people... like Greg Braden, who said he'd be in the film, even when it was at that point going to be about chakras and the earth. And when Greg said yes, and Greg Braden, the author of Deep Truth and Fractal Time, that a lot of people might know of, then a lot of other people wanted to be part of the project. And it got to be bigger and bigger and bigger until, and I showed it to a person in 2010, and she said, you know, if you keep all this stuff in it with the channeling and the chakras, you're going to have a slice of a slice of a slice of a pie. But if you want to really mainstream this message about the journey of the heart, you need to take all of that stuff out and really make it about, you know, the science and the spirituality, so it's more accessible to people, and talk about a identity crisis, Michelle, because I was like, this is my work. Uh-huh. This is what I do. I connect with the guys this. So it was hard because, I sat around and I cried, because they said, you got to take it all out of there, all this channeling and
yeah.
the chalice welling and Stonehenge. And so I said, but you know what? What really my mission was to reach as many people as I could about this journey of the heart and to really offer it to mainstream. And maybe, a couple movies down the road, I'll put in all of this stuff that a lot of us know is real and know that is, really gives us a lot of in-depth information about all of who we are, not just the 3D.
Right.
Gosh.
So did they, I've got it, I'm going to watch, I haven't had a chance to yet, I went through the materials, but it looks so good. Well, tell me a little bit, because I love the idea with the science, that's really big right now, and as you call it, the science and spirit of our connection.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the science and spirit of our connection, like connecting through the heart, how the heart actually, is like another brain in the body? Is that what you're going into?
We talk about it with the heart-based connection that can be measured. Now, we all know it's really a spiritual-based connection, but, if we look at it in terms of
mm-hmm.
human physiology, the place where we're most connected is in the heartbeat. But if we were sitting in the same room, my heartbeat could be measured in your brain, and your heartbeat would be measured and could be found in my brain and trained and synchronized together. And our heart signal, the strength of the signal coming from the heart is 5,000 times more powerful than any signal that's being emitted by the brain. So we kind of brought it into that scientific, realm. And we do say behind the heart, the spirit, the heart is the spirit. And we know that the great spiritual traditions all talk about the heart. So we talk more in terms of the energetic, the emotional, and the physiological heart, but of course, spirit really is what connects everything. But we know the biology of the heart connects us undeniably, and we can prove that now through science.
Oh, that's interesting. So the biology says that are you saying we actually get in trained when we're around other people, certain people that the entrainment, or you could also call it resonance, like there's a,
right.
I would imagine like a harmonizing, right, to try to get in resonance?
Yeah. You can. I mean, it's not always the case, but they show that at the Institute of HeartMath, the scientists that contributed to the film, they have some
yes.
studies called Mother and Baby, and they entrain. And you can also, using the techniques of HeartMath, which I teach, I'm a licensed HeartMath instructor now, I know how to emit a signal because we're sending encoded emotional signals into the field around us, heartbeat to heartbeat. So I know how to use the power of my heart to bring someone into a more peaceful and calm state, and they don't know anything about what I'm doing. that they can I can influence
beautiful.
The field. Yeah, and I also know if I could choose to stay stressed, I'm either net contributing into the field in a positive way, or I'm detracting. So it's like you get to choose: are you going to contribute to what's going on Earth through the power of your heart, or detract from the energy here?
So you say not everyone does. So explain that a little bit. Not everybody, in other words, not everybody will get in that resonance or entrainment.
Well, if you're
together.
If you're in a kind of the state, and we talk about this part, that most people are today, which is in chronic stress. And if you watch the first two minutes of my film, you'll see, you know, the before, a very vivid before and after difference in how I look. And especially if you read energy, you'll see the energy shift dramatically. And if we're under chronic stress because we have too much to do and we don't know, we don't de-stress, and we know we should meditate and exercise but don't, it's really hard to be a positive contributor energetically here on Earth. So we have some doctors that go into the stress response, the imbalance between the autonomic nervous system, where most of us are in sympathetic dominance, meaning we're putting cortisol, the stress hormone, into our body all the time. And people will say, well, my co-producer, my new life partner, Dr. Donald Backstrom, is a holistic physician, and he says people come into his office all the time saying, I don't know what's wrong with me. I slept 8 or 10 hours, and I'm still tired. And he says it's because you do not know how to de-stress from this chronic overload of information coming in all the time, rushing and speeding up. You know, the energies are speeding up. But if you're under that, you know, stress all the time, it really doesn't matter how, you know, much you want to help humanity. You're not sending a signal that contributes to, you know, this that's what it's all about.
Lana, I am so glad for you to say that. Oh, I love this. We need to really punch on this one because, and by the way, it's 11:11 as we're speaking this.
I just thought, 1:11 on my side.
Because, yeah, 1:11, yeah, 1:11, yeah. I have been saying this because, you know, consciousness and the healing that we do is an inside job. So it doesn't matter what you're doing on the outside if you're not in that harmonizing frequency.
Right.
You know, I always tell people, no matter how many books you're selling, how big of a quote-unquote spiritual teacher or healer you are, if that there cannot be that shift unless you have that, unless you're in that frequency state, that harmonized state. So, oh my God, that is so important.
Really
now, what are some
of
the ways people
care.
Would get into that, to de-stress and get into that coherent, more coherency?
Well, you know, I'm sure you talk about meditation, and that's really good. But what I talk and teach my clients is the heart math techniques. And I brought my work from what I call high-level metaphysics. I still have a very strong following in that area, but I brought it more into the grounded, what I call, you know, physiological and emotion-based techniques. So the Institute of Heart Math that I became certified with has a procedure called quick coherence, and it is quick, and it creates coherence. And it's basically where you focus on your heart and imagine you're breathing to your heart, and you slow the breath down. We know a lot about breath and stress response.
Breathless.
By slowing your breathing down and breathing through the diaphragm, you can start to come out of that overstressed imbalance. And then the key part to all of this is then you start to feel gratitude or appreciation for something. It can be something small, like that it's a beautiful day, and that you know, we have a home that we live in, or a vehicle to get around, or even a flower or a pet. We start to appreciate that, and the encoded emotional signal coming from the heart that contributes to the field starts to shift, and it shifts dramatically. And under stress, it looks like a seismograph of an earthquake. And when you start to bring in that emotion of gratitude and appreciation, it looks like a smooth sine wave. And you can get a little device called an inner balance from HeartMath. You can also get it from my website. And you hook it onto your smartphone, and you clip it onto your earlobe, and it's measuring your heart rate variability beat to beat. What is that signal that's going out into the field? What are you doing? Are you contributing or are you not? You can find out right away. And you can train yourself to be in this high state of coherence. So I always tell my clients, number one, we can do all sorts of things. I can tell you all your guides and this and that, but if you are not in a state of autonomic nervous system balance in a coherent state. It's just kind of like entertainment to people. I said, it's entertaining to know that, but if you're not helping yourself physiologically be grounded as a human being, then, what are you really here for? Stuff is interesting. I do it with the best of them. I still do, but it's so important to get out of that chronic stress. And people can just go to YouTube and put in their Ronna Prince, that's R-O-N-N-A, Prince, and then before and after. And you'll see a whole 4.5-minute piece on what it looks like when you're stressed and when you're not. It's pretty dramatic, because I had to stop the film process in the middle when I saw how it was showing up on camera, which looked like a scared deer in a headlight syndrome, because I was so shut down and stressed I couldn't even be in my own film. It's pretty crazy.
You know what I've been told by, and I get your take on it, by my guides, is that really we can't ascend or go further in, we'll call it evolution, but more of us coming more fully until we can move into coherence. It's like the earth container, the physicality, physically and physiologically, can't download those higher frequencies, more expanded frequencies, without damage. Unless we're in more coherence, we're in that higher state of resonance and I like to call it harmonizing. So knowing that, I feel like work that you're doing and that others are doing with assisting people to do that is so important. Right. It's like having a, 1950 radio transmitter and you want to, download, something, MP3s, or, it's just not, going to work, or the functionality isn't there. So it's an important message. Now, let us know, because we put it in the chat, but I want to make sure people that are listening, sacredjourneyoftheheart.com is your website, and you do have what the device you were talking about. What is it that people would be looking for?
It's in the store. I have an M-Wave, which is an EM wave, and that connects to a PC or a Mac, and that's really great. That's a, gives you a lot of feedback just right about what's happening in your body. And then the one that goes onto a smartphone is called the Inner Balance device, and so both of those I have available, and I coach people through a program called Voyage to Heart Intelligence, and that's how to harness the power of your heart. Say, well, why would we want to do that? Well, if you really want to move beyond the law of attraction, which resonates with the laws of polarity and cause and effect, which is duality, you've got to start to harness the power of your heart, which is the law of confluence, which I talk about in my film. That works with the law of abundance and the law of reciprocity, and that's what a lot of people, I think, got excited. And one of the things I wanted to contribute was going beyond the law of attraction, which is a mental-based law, and into a higher operative frequency, and that was the ground floor. Law of attraction is the ground floor for a lot of people. This is the level where you start to create from a heart field, and someone like me, who's an unknown, starts to get people like Greg Braden and Joe Dispenza and Mary Morris to say, sure, we'll be in your project. Sure, we'll do this with you, because I'm not creating from cause and effect or duality anymore. It's a bigger, much bigger, much more, I would call it, a higher frequency that you've been talking about.
Yeah, that's why I'm like so excited to hear you saying this, because you're getting into the subtle energy. You're now co-creating beyond the dual plane, which I just I love that you're sharing this and talking about this. Let us know, because you mentioned in the opening that you have a personal growth process, a modern mastery. If you could share a little bit about that for our listeners, and also the telesummit. I want to know a little bit more about the telesummit and what that is entails.
I do my private coaching and counseling and group things through modernmastery.com, and I work through just a simple three-part process, which is awareness, acceptance and appreciation, and then we go into some anchoring of the new vibrational harmonics we bring in. But number one, you have to be aware. I wasn't exactly aware when we started doing this film that I was really way up in my head and doing the activity very, very well called the spiritual bypass, meaning I wasn't really dealing with my emotions. because I had learned, as many of us in the spiritual world do, that anger is a low vibration. Hatred is certainly, we never want to admit as a spiritual teacher we have hatred inside. What I found out from learning from Colin Tipping, there's nothing, you know, low or high necessarily about an emotion unless it stays stuck in your field and you live with it and it festers inside of you. Your emotion is an emotion and it serves a purpose. Anger serves us when our boundaries are crossed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's good to be angry.
Right.
Hatred, I mean, I have a lot of hatred festering inside from what happened to me as a child that I never was allowed to express. And so I went way out on a limb on chapter 2 of our film, and I went through a process of showing people beginning, middle, to end, here's what you do with the emotions, and here's how you let them go, not just I'm going to let them go because it's all good. That's the spiritual bypass that results in a lot of people becoming sick. If this is how you effectively work through emotion and transform your life because you go through it, not around it or over it. So
right.
I do a lot of that in Modern Mastery, just being aware. I wasn't aware how shut down I was emotionally until I saw myself on camera. And then we, you know, go through some acceptance of what happened. I talk a lot about that in the film, a process I developed called the 360-degree review, where we work in 7 concentric layers from the heart and seeing what it is we don't accept and look at how that reflects back on ourselves. And then we do some, you know, appreciating. As I've found in my work, and whether it's metaphysical or regular, I never, ever clear an energy, ever, because that tells us our soul, I didn't get it. There's something wrong with what I just experienced, and our soul really wants to get it.
Yeah.
So the minute we start clearing, our soul's going, oh, you're clearing, if you're clearing from judgment, then I don't want this energy anymore. And I hear a lot of people calling in going, this has to change, I don't want it. When your soul's going, well, this is the very lesson you've asked for, and you're sitting there rejecting it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just going to have to recreate it again over here. So I said, let's not clear anything anymore. Let's work through appreciation and deep, deep, deep acceptance of the wisdom of our soul to bring us these very lessons that will end up through the vibration of love to transform our lives. And that's the only thing that will transform us, is love.
Is love. I agree. Seeing with love. I've been focusing on, and my guides have been talking about making decisions and communicating from love, which is a different frequency, coming from integrity, wholeness. But coming from that space of love, which, of course, is appreciation and gratitude is a big part of that, it changes things when you come from love instead of needing something, you know? It's like instead of coming from needs and wants, you come from love. Amazing. It's Ron, I think this is such a focal point right now, you know, especially with the new information, you know, especially from science, with the heart. Why do you think that's coming out at this time? What's the importance?
Well, we really are at a critical choice point. I mean, we can see that the government's at a standstill right now. The systems are breaking down, and people are looking for different solutions. We're not going to get through the issues the whole Earth is facing by coming up with thought-based solutions. They have to be heart-based ones where we look at the collective and how do we share, and that's why the law of confluence is so important. It's got to be reciprocal. We have to be in reciprocity with the services that we're providing and what we're offering, and I think that's what people are searching, and they're not doing it in small numbers anymore. It's a huge awakening process. I mean, it's just so wonderful to see the coverage, you know, see how many people know about meditating and, you know, and holistic living, and are demanding to have, you know, coverage of things like acupuncture and subtle energy medicine, and you know, people are having to kind of find their way into heart-based living. And that's why I think, you know, not just my film alone, but there's so many, you know, new techniques that are based on heart and versus trying to think your way through. And that's where so many of my clients have come to me and say, I can't figure this problem out anymore. I cannot. And I said, exactly.
No.
You cannot think your way through what's going on anymore.
That's
right. What do I do? You have to integrate the thoughts and the minds, and that's the work with the Institute of Heart Math I do. Your feelings and your, you know, your ideas, that's radical forgiveness, moving through the emotions, not around them. And then you can go ahead and go all out in the spiritual realm and see the connections and work on subtle energy. You've got to de-stress the physiology first. You have to be more emotionally intelligent second. Then the rest of it falls into place. I didn't just say that for my own experience. You know, my life just wasn't working before this. So now it is.
Yeah. Well, Juana probably put in the chat, so I also think once we become heart-based, we're going to get back in touch with the natural world. I would agree. Mm-hmm. What's your take? I think it's a natural next step that the you're more in tune with the not only your own biorhythms, but the, you know, earthly, worldly mm-hmm. biorhythms of
mm-hmm.
people, places, nature.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part. In my film, I have indigenous wisdom teachers from around the world, because I wanted to present the fact that just because the scientists can prove how interconnected we are, it's nothing new, that the wisdom traditions from thousands and thousands of years have known
yeah.
that. And one of the persons in the film is David Lakota, David Swallow Jr., the head man of Lakota Nations. And he says this beautiful line. He said, you know, the birds and the ant and the deer, they have not forgotten their original instructions, but the two-legged creatures
right.
have forgotten their instructions. And,
yeah.
you know, I think that the instructions are to really follow, he calls it the red road, of being aware of the environment and how interconnected we are. And, you know, Mother Margarita Nunez, one of the 12 grandmothers in the film, says, you know, we have to love the earth. We can't change unless we love the earth. And I think people are finding ways of getting back into, you know, just having a relationship with earth, or, you know, walking on the ground. Some people are, but, you know, you got to take a lot more effort nowadays than before, especially if you live in a city. But it's a big, important part of seeing how responsible we are for the earth. And when people watch the film, they'll see what Greg Braden says on 9/11. There was spikes in the earth's electromagnetic field 10 minutes after that first plane hit the Twin Towers. So geosynchronous satellites are measuring that every few minutes, and they know how the Earth's electromagnetic field looks. And when they put the data on top, they said there's only one explanation for this, and it was the outpouring of genuine human emotion that impacted the measurable electromagnetic field of Earth itself. And that is like a big aha for a lot of people looking at this film, because that's why we said the heart's where the action is, because if untrained human emotion of anger, fear, outrage on that day caused a spike in the Earth's electromagnetic field, which, by the way, is the same exact vibration as our human hearts, the same energetic frequency measured from the human heart, the same frequency of the earth as a whole. I just about fell off my chair when I heard the Institute of Heart Math
wow.
say that. And they said, now, the exciting news is on International Peace Day, which is usually September 21st, praying for peace, vibrating and imagining, visualizing of peace also creates an electromagnetic spike in the Earth's field. So we can be, this is what I'm saying, on a global basis. When we participate in these events, we can affect the electromagnetic field of the Earth. And then
yeah.
if we know spiritually, that this is this, you know, dimensional shift that lots of people are talking about. If we start to do that enough and collectively, everything is going to change. We won't even recognize it. I don't think, you know, maybe
yeah.
10 years from now, if enough people awaken to how powerful they really are.
And that's what I'm hearing in this. It's getting to the realization, because thought and action are so late on the chain. Working energetically, then people can see that they really are making a difference, you know,
right.
by their coherence, by their resonance, it, you know, not even just right family and friends, but neighborhood extending out. Juan, it reminds me of that saying, and I'm going to paraphrase it, I don't think very accurately, but something that, you know, as you wave your hand, I think it's from the Tao, you know, it affects millions, you know, like I'm waving my hand now, it's felt in China, you know, that wave of the hand through the subtle energy, through the ethers, is felt, you know, it is a form of communication. So what I'm hearing you say, in a way, we are, you know, not just these transmitters, but we are these emitters. We are these emitters.
Yeah.
We're emitting the
right.
frequencies that we are. I'm hearing you
exactly
correctly
there. Yeah, we're emitting frequencies every time, every moment, heartbeat to heartbeat, and it affects not just the people around us, but the earth itself. And you know, they've done lots of studies about, you know, plants and emotion, of course, the water crystals and Dr. Emoto and, you know, the thoughts and the feelings that are behind it. So we have such a huge impact on our environment. And you think about that, if you're in a bad mood and you're around your kids, it's definitely influencing them. You know, if they're around angry people all the time, they're going to sort of become chemically addicted to those feelings around angry people. So it's that we have such a responsibility to be monitoring ourselves and making choices that are saying, hey, wait a second, you know, even though I might be worried about that, the balance of my bank account or a bill is coming up, can I still be in appreciation of this day and the fact that I live in a place where it's safe, or, you know, we have services that are provided, we're not going drinking dirty water and things like that.
Exactly. And I think also when you are going through something, whether it's friends, spouse, you know, lover, whatever, children especially, to say this isn't you. The energy that you're feeling or picking up is this is what I'm emitting right now, because I think that's a lot of what happens with kids is they take – people, don't, like you said earlier, didn't talk about the body or feelings. People don't talk about it, and then the kids end up thinking that it's them. I know in my work, a lot of stuff that I've done has been releasing stuff, but you know, that wasn't even them. That wasn't even what they experienced, but they picked it up. Rhonna, this has been great. Want to let people know again, they can go to sacredjourneyoftheheart.com for more information about you, the personal work you do, as well as the film Sacred Journey of the Heart, The Science and Spirit of Our Connection. I love it. Rhonna, thank you so much for being on Awakenings Radio. I so appreciate you taking the time to share with us, and I'd love to have you back whenever you would like to.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That'd be great. Yes, I love it.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and our guest was Rhonna Prince. You can find out more information about Rhonna and the work that she does at sacredjourneyoftheheart.com. And again, she's the producer, filmmaker, and writer of Sacred Journey of the Heart, The Science and Spirit of Our Connection. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Always love connecting with everyone. We had a great convo in the chat today, too. It was really great. A lot of wonderful connecting. Thank you, everyone, that took the time to call in. You helped make Awakenings also what it is. So important. Love the interaction. Come say hi on our Facebook page, Awakenings Radio or Awakenings with Michelle Mache. Just say hi and, of course, like the page and share what's going on in your world also. Leave it on the timeline. Let us know what's happening. And any guest suggestions, guest topics, dreams, numerology questions, any questions about the Divine Soul Path, you can email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for sharing your love, your light, and your insight. And, of course, until next time, continue to shine your light. And, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.